Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm wrapping up today's editorials with a discussion on the metals sector with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. Now Craig, just as a quick little recap here, gold and gold stocks, and when looking at something like GDX, they are down a little bit for this week, but GDX, more importantly, is still holding above that breakout level, and, well, it's not down that much, only down about 2% this week. Goes hand in hand with kind of the choppy sideways motion in U.S. equity markets as well. Really feels like right now is a bit of a digestion phase for a number of different sectors, but when it comes to the precious metals, gold, and gold stocks, let's get your thought first. What do you think is causing maybe a little bit of this pullback, or quite frankly, is it really honestly a bit overdue for a bit of a pullback?
Yeah, you know, I keep calling it the first 8 weeks of the rest of your life. And it began on March 23rd, that being the day that the Fed announced, you know, their final overt quantitative easing to infinity, you know, and how much the money supply and the balance sheet and everything has grown in the 8 weeks since. The leading, at least as I look at it, sector in those 8 weeks has been the GDX. Even given some back this week, it's still up maybe 75% now in the last 9 weeks, which is just astonishing. Gold's up about 17%, but silver's up about 40%. In those 9 weeks. So we've come a long way. You do for a breather every now and then. You could say that, you know, obviously things get overbought and that has to be worked off too. The other thing working maybe a little bit in gold's face this week and into next is you've got the June contract going off the board next week. The options expire on Tuesday after this 3-day weekend. And then the contract goes off the board Thursday, and then we always have LBMA priced options go off at the end of the month on Friday. And so, I don't know, maybe we kind of continue to go sideways again next week a little bit, consolidate some. But it is encouraging. It feels like it hasn't been that great of a week because you think after what happened on Thursday. But last Friday, silver closed 1705. So, I mean, here silver's up another 3% this week, 3.5%. So it's not too bad.
Yeah, and I think one of the key aspects when it comes to even the gold stocks too is that we're not seeing sell-offs day after day. There was really one bad day this week and a little bit of a follow-through, and then today GDX fighting right around neutral, but at least it's not selling leading into selling. And when it comes to silver, a bit of an interesting week though, because silver on the uptrend at the tail end of last week continued that uptrend for the first couple trading days, but just in the last trading day really gave up a lot of those gains and is now more or less fighting to close the week neutral for the week. However, it is above that 200-day moving average. What do you think is key when it comes to silver and this trading level and this almost resistance zone that we seem to see right around the 18 to 19 level?
Yeah, it was really interesting Tuesday, Wednesday. And this is something I've observed for a decade now. And so the smash on Thursday wasn't necessarily surprising when Tuesday and Wednesday prices went up and then just went sideways. In fact, in what maybe is just coincidence, I don't know, gold went straight sideways. Spot gold went straight sideways at 1750. And so spot silver went straight sideways and seemed to be capped at 17.50. like there was the GSR of 100 was stuck. So that was interesting to observe. You know, I'm watching silver closely, Corey, just because, you know, some of the conditions that we saw in gold in April and even in March have now, I guess, kind of popped up in silver. And that is, remember, we had this whole situation where the futures contract traded at this massive premium to spot. Remember all that back in late March? Got to like $100 and $80. And we were told, you know, the industry came out and the LBMA and everybody else, CME, all came out and said, well, there's plenty of gold. It's just in the wrong place. And airplanes aren't flying to deliver it, you know. And so the arbitrage isn't happening that would close that gap and all that stuff. And now, yeah, it's pretty well closed back down. But there's a 3% spread in silver. Anybody can look at it right now. The futures contract is trading 50 to 55 cents above spot. and that's about 3%. And so I find that odd. And then you throw in some of the other things that we've heard. You know, there was that period of time of about 6 weeks to 2 months that Mexico and Peru were offline. Mexico mines about 15 million ounces a month, and Peru does about 12. So you're talking 55 million ounces maybe that got taken offline because now they're back in production again. Maybe that's impacting, you know, if there's any kind of short-term shortage. You know, you look too, I keep hearing stories about silver on the wholesale level being expensive. At a couple of wholesalers I heard from yesterday that said there are 100 ounce or 1,000 ounce bars that are trading at more than $1 per spot, $1 per ounce over spot. Guy sent me a link to Apmex, which is one of the largest online dealers that has 1,000 ounce bars. But even those are, I did the price, you know, you break, you do the math, and it's $19.65 an ounce. So they're about $2 over spot. So I'm not trying to make it say, oh God, there's a shortage of silver, you know, but there is something kind of funky going on there, as evidenced by that spread between spot and futures. So be interesting to see, you know, maybe it'll just go away like the gold, spread did, as, you know, as we've gotten here into late May, but there's certainly some supply pressure, it seems, at least in the very near term, in silver.
All right. Well, Craig, let's take a step back and focus again kind of more on the market pricing of this, but more the relationship that the precious metals are holding, especially gold and gold stocks, to some other markets, either the U.S. equity markets or the U.S. dollar. What do you think has some of a correlation or non-correlation that should be noted or that you're watching?
Well, you and I have talked about the dollar. I think that can provide a headwind or a tailwind, but I think it's a gross oversimplification for someone just to say, well, the dollar went up, so gold went down. A most recent example is Monday of this week when gold and silver were both looking really good pre-market. And then this news hit of a possible, you know, that vaccine from that Moderna, and gold and silver both got whacked and the dollar went down 0.75 points. So did gold and silver go down because the dollar went down? See, I mean, I think you get my drift.
Well, recently, too, they've been moving hand in hand. As it moved up, gold's moved up, too.
Yeah, you know, and as we measure the dollar, it's always against the other fiat currency, right? We look at the dollar index. Well, and all that is just, you know, a basket of other fiat. And so if they all get devalued and printed at the same rate, then relative to each other, you know, they're not changing. And so, I'm reluctant to look at the dollar. That maybe a better way to look at it is just the price of gold. You know, and if the gold's up, like I said, in the last 9 weeks, about 17% since QE to infinity began. So has the dollar devalued 17% versus gold? Well, okay, that's probably a valid way to look at it. But the dollar, though, technically does, I mean, if you just look at the dollar index, it's kind of in, I don't want to say it's in a precarious position, but it definitely is trading kind of hovering around its 50-day below it and not too far above its 200-day. And when it did fall below the 200-day last time back in whatever that was, February, it fell sharply. So if the dollar does fall sharply in the, you know, next couple of weeks, that might at least help. And why would it? You know, the interesting thing to watch, I guess, Corey, I mean, the calendar flips by so quickly. We're now just 2 weeks away from the next FOMC. I mean, didn't we just have the last one? Now all of a sudden, June 9 and June 10, you'll get another FOMC. And who knows what they'll be talking about then. You know, the most interesting thing came out of the minutes this week was this notion of interest rate caps. That would be very bullish for the metals. Now that that's out in the open, maybe that'll come up again in 2 weeks, and maybe somebody will ask Chairman Powell about it. And if that's, you know, if that actually gets put into practice, that might impact the dollar as well and impact the metals and everything else. But it is, boy, it's an interesting time to be alive through all of this madness of everything that has to do with COVID. Nothing that we could have anticipated this year, and here we are trying to adapt to it on the fly.
Yes, we are. But one thing that I think we could have anticipated that most people did was continuing U.S.-China trade war talk that came up a little bit more this week and also caused a bit more of this volatility in the markets. But let's compare precious metals to what's going on in U.S. equity markets. Again, as much as some of the gold bugs were coming into this year saying the big driver for gold is going to be a crash in U.S. equity markets, it's actually shown to be quite different in the sense that gold has recovered with U.S. equity markets. The two have moved fairly closely hand in hand this year. Really, it just looks like it comes down to confidence. If investors are confident, then they're putting money in U.S. markets and also in precious metals. What do you think about this relationship so far?
Well, I'd say it to me, it's twofold. One, if the stock market, one way you could look at the stock market is a measure of confidence, like you said, economic confidence, forward guidance, confidence. You know, you feel like things are going to get better in the months ahead. And if that's the case, then you can start thinking about inflation. You know, I mean, with this growth of the M2 money supply is like nothing we've seen since World War II. So if all of a sudden we're, you know, the economy's back on track, and then all of a sudden you got to start thinking about inflation, and then inflation makes you think of negative real interest rates, and that's historically very good environment for gold. Okay, so maybe that's the connection. I would also, though, say that, you know, everything is floated by Fed liquidity at this point. That's why I keep running this scoreboard at the end of every week, just to see, you know, what the, I mean, the S&P is up 25% or something in the last 9 weeks. It changed magically that day when QE was announced on March the 23rd. So it's kind of the, you know, the proverbial rising tide lifting all boats, Corey. You know, if all this cash gets floated out, some of it invariably ends up in the hands of investors or in banks that's levered up, and it goes looking for a home. So there's a connection between gold and the stock market and everything else that way, where they're all just kind of leashed to all this liquidity that's being floated out there. And, you know, and I guess as you know, you put all this together, there's one more thing, Corey. You know, this idea that gold would go up if the stock market goes down, or gold go down if the stock market goes down. Hey, look, the Fed is now monetizing basically everything. I mean, I lost track when they started their corporate bond ETF buying. Was that this week or last? But anyway, they're monetizing everything. There is so much in so many assets and pension plans and institutions that are now linked to the stock market. You know, everybody thinks at some point the Fed might start buying equity ETFs like the Bank of Japan. They'll only do so as a last resort. But if the stock market starts rolling over again and start breaking down through 20,000, that might be the last resort. And so stock market goes down, Fed starts buying equity ETFs. Gold just will probably go up in response to that. So in all three of those factors, one way or another, you can kind of see where all those things are kind of tied together.
All right, Craig, we're going to wrap it up there. Good summary of this week. It was, again, kind of a choppy week for the metals, but you still look at the daily charts, still look at those weekly charts, and well, even the monthly charts for gold and now GDX, they are looking promising, but you know, it's never a straight line move. Craig, thanks for your time today. Have a great long weekend, buddy.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, my friend.